Welcome to season 4 of the Gamers Change Lives podcast. Over the first 3 seasons of the Gamers Change Lives podcast, we've had the opportunity to speak with men and women around the world who are staking their claim in the esports industry. This season, the theme is going to be accelerating success and harnessing the power of esports incubators and accelerators. Tom and his team are going to highlight the crucial role that incubators and accelerators have on the esports industry and showcase the journeys of entrepreneurs who have leveraged these programs to propel their businesses forward. And now, here's your host, Tom Leonard.
I'm Tom Leonard. I'm the host of the Gamers Change Lives podcast, where we talk about how esports can create jobs anywhere in the world. Play games, create jobs, change lives. In the first season, we talked about jobs. In the second season, we call it Follow the Money. We talked about investment. We talked about sponsorship. And now in season 3, in season three, we talked about business basics. Now in season 4, hard to believe we're already in season 4. We've been at this for a little while. So in season 4, we've been talking about accelerators and incubators with basically the idea we want to talk about how entrepreneurs, whether they're esports entrepreneurs or really any entrepreneur, what kind of resources are out there for people to further their program, no matter whether it's esports related or whether it's not. Today, really, really glad to have Mirko Menenza. And if I mispronounce your name, you feel free to correct me. Hey there, Mirko.
Hey there. Hi, Tom. How are you doing? Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. I know the name was spelled amazingly, actually. Looks like Italian way.
See.
Perfect.
Mirko is the business strategy manager at Ontel and has other experience, including playing Overwatch. Sei italiano?
Yeah, sono italiano, precisely. Yeah, coming from Rome originally.
So, but where are you speaking to us now from?
So right now I'm based in Prague. Been living here since like 2 years and a half already. Wow, time flies. And originally coming from Rome when like I spent 25 years of my life, and then I decided to move and to go for a new experience. And really, so far, so good. Prague is a lovable city, I would say.
So what made you move, and what made you pick Prague?
All right. This happened a little bit like, you know, I would say it wasn't planned, because just after I got my master's degree, you know, I really wanted to be a gaming recruiter. And you're going to probably ask yourself, why do you want to be a gaming recruiter? Very simple. Like, I wanted to try to go for a job which basically has an impact on a positive impact on people's lives, you know, like as a medic. But of course, I wasn't going for it. So I thought, like, in a very childish way, that as a recruiter, you can basically help improving people's professional life and, you know, leave some kind of positive impact on society. So it was a job that always, like, made me think and made me, like, be some kind of, like, inspired, you know, in order to do so. And so I thought, yeah, this could be really interesting. And the gaming world, just because I'm a massive nerd, so, you know, it came pretty naturally to try to chase this industry. So basically, right after university, I was looking for an opportunity to at first becoming a recruiter and then eventually in the gaming world. And yeah, I basically applied all over Italy, but eventually in Europe, you know, like no geographical boundaries. And the first call came from Prague. So that's why, basically. I never even, like, visited Prague before coming here for the first time. So it was really YOLO decision, but no regrets. It was super cool.
Yes, yes. Yeah, because if you are Italian, you can travel and work anywhere in the EU, right?
Precisely, yes. It's a big, big, massive lack that all the European citizens have. So we have no boundaries, like no problems or any kind of limitations on this regard, which is super cool.
Now that makes a huge difference.
So yeah. Yeah, I would say yes.
It opened up so many opportunities that, I mean, because especially if you're specializing in gaming, maybe gaming isn't as big in Italy as it might be in Sweden or some other country. And so it's easy to move around, easier than in some place. That's one of the benefits that we get living in the United States. There's so many different parts of the United States. It's almost like Europe, except we all speak the same language. But it's like, you know, I'm in California. It's completely different than up north, you know, in Seattle versus in the Midwest versus the East Coast versus the South. It's like completely different cultures, which gives us the opportunity to do a lot of different things similar. Now, when does it start? So you said that you're a nerd and that you're a gamer. Can you talk a little bit about how did you get into gaming starting out?
Well, this came pretty early in my, like, I would say in my life, because it was like a first time love. Like, my father bought me the first PlayStation when I was like, I think 5 years old, something like that. I'm recalling playing, I don't know, WWE, Pro Evolution Soccer, like 2006, I guess, these kind of games on the PlayStation, and was like really, I mean, like, this was even PlayStation 2, I guess, like earlier, it was really Metal Gear Solid, Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, this kind of stuff. And it was pure love. So since I was really a little kid, I always played and it was always been part of my life. And this eventually passion developed up to be, you know, like a vehicle to make new friends once I started playing online games. And the first, let's say, experience of bonding and, you know, love in this regard came by playing Tekken Tag Team Tournament 2. Which basically, you know, as since it's like a fighting game, you're of course playing online, but this gave me the opportunity when I was like really, I was really loving the game. So I really studied how to kind of aim to be a pro, which I didn't manage because it's super hard. But still, you know, this gave me the opportunity to join communities in Rome. So I played a lot with a lot of local people over there. And then I started to be, I wouldn't say a pro, but quite good at the game. So, you know, joining tournaments. And this is a super cool bonding experience. I made a lot of friends by that. So with the Tekken experience also, I had the luck to be part of like organizing tournaments, handling the streams, also understanding what's behind the scenes of organizing, you know, esports events. And to be fair, it's super cool. So for a while I played kind of like trying to, you know, aim into the top, but I understood that it wasn't for me. So I just enjoyed like the whole community thing behind playing Tekken. Then university came, it was really time consuming. So I just decided to drop it for a while. And I started playing Overwatch, which again was first like side love because it started out like random as a lot of things happens, you know? And it started with a friend of mine who told me, hey, this new cool Blizzard game is coming out. Let's give it a shot. And we just fall in love for that. And basically, we played it really a lot, like really some kind of addiction. And by playing, I also made new friends online, and we basically created some kind of clan. And on Overwatch, I was quite good at it. So I managed to be like in the top 500 in the European ladder for like several seasons. And so I did some tournaments, local ones, online ones. Again, amazing experience. But again, I wasn't good enough to become like some kind of professional player and make a living out of it. So after that experience, I said, okay, maybe I cannot, you know, live by playing games, but I would like to professionally be involved into this sector. So this is how, I guess, like my mind connected the idea of playing with working with video games, I suppose.
It makes a lot of sense. It's easy. People are always telling you, follow your passion. And it's like, well, that's easy to say. It's really, really tough to do sometimes. And the other thing that we found in talking to people over the different seasons is how hard it is to be a really top professional player. I mean, it takes a lot of skill and a lot of practice. I mean, people don't just, oh, I'm really good at video games, so I'm going to turn pro. It's like, it doesn't work. Our second guest on the podcast was Queen Arrow from Kenya, and she does fighting games. Oh. And she's sponsored and she's a professional player out there. And it's just like, wow. I mean, that just takes, especially female is also another wrinkle in esports out there. So that's great that you were able to match them up. Let's talk a little bit about recruiting. Because that's your background. And I think everyone at one point or another needs a job. And so they need to figure out a way to get jobs. Can you talk a little bit about Antal? Antal, is that how you pronounce it? Where you are now? And what is it that they do?
So basically, Antal is a global recruitment firm, which basically helps companies from different kind of industries hiring people. Like, we provide staffing needs, which such as like recruitment, onboarding, payroll system, like which can be contractors or permanent placement. So everything related to the HR department, we try to help companies like make it better. So as a company itself, we are like, we have offices worldwide, it's a big corporate with more than 2,500 employees. In my specific case, I work in Antal, Czechia, which is the Czech Republic branch of Antal International. And we basically have, as you can imagine, several divisions which support like pharmaceutical companies, engineering ones, like IT ones. But originally, like a friend of mine started out the gaming division basically for the passion, for the sake of like, you know, doing that in the gaming world. So we started out approximately 3 years ago. Right now, this friend is not in the company anymore, but like, so I took over. And yeah, right now we are like, we have recruitment consultants helping gaming companies, both like we are based both in Czechia and in Poland, but we're helping gaming companies mostly in Europe and in the US. And yeah, it's super cool, to be fair.
So there probably aren't too many recruiters who are like, I really like accounting. I really want to be a passionate accounting recruiter.
Really?
But gaming is going to be a little bit different. How is gaming recruiting seen within the organization? You said there's 2,500 employees. How many people work in gaming?
Right now, we are just two stable one recruiters. And plus, we have some other, let's say, recruiters specializing in the IT area, which are like, they can help us on some like mixed or hybrid roles. So depending on the demand, like if we are managing, I don't know, 20, 25 roles at the same moment, we can, you know, eventually poach some of our internal other recruiters into it. But yeah, as a stable one, we are two. Back then, the business unit was bigger, not going to lie on it. But since like the whole industry is facing quite a hard time at the moment, you know, there were like some restructuring in that sense. So people that have been reassigned to other business unit, because like right now for the let's say recruitment area, the gaming industry is not like at its best, I would say. So that's what we decided to do, you know, in order to strive.
What do you think that is? Why do you think the gaming is having a hard time right now? And not really looking for particular company specifics out there, but just in general, why you have insights that not everyone has of what it's like on the recruiting, on the hiring side of things. What's happening these days?
Sure. So, well, it's a complex phenomenon, of course, which really depends on like several factors altogether. But if we want to try to generalize, I would say that the gaming industry, you know, in the last 15 years, always grew like on a yearly basis in terms of revenues and, you know, overall growth. And this phenomenon had a huge peak during the pandemic, because it's quite, you know, like easy to figure it out, because for the like, you know, the restrictions, a lot of people were forced to stay at home. And of course, like the demand for video games just peaked, you know, skyrocketed from people who never played video games and they started out during the COVID, or people which were already playing at the time, they decided to increase the time spent on video games. And so people were buying more games and gaming companies made more money, which of course led to hiring a lot of people in order to, you know, keep up with the increasing demand and having like more, even like bigger and faster growth. But when the situation stabilized after the, you know, the new laws, after the basically the situation got not to normality, basically all those people that were on the paychecks of the companies, you know, you still need to pay your employees once you hire them. You know, if they are perm, like they're not contractors, they are perm employees. And the revenues just basically kept growing, but in some cases they just either got back at the pre-pandemic levels or they simply didn't keep up, you know, the cost that came along with the new hires. So companies were now financially struggling to, you know, stay alive because of that. And this led to massive waves of layoffs, which is, in my opinion, pretty much what happened with the IT industry, with like the big techs, the fangs such as Google or, you know, Microsoft, Facebook, like, okay, now it's Meta. In early stages of 2022, we just had the same phenomenon, but like lately, starting in the half of 2023 and unfortunately still running right now. So this like overhiring phenomenon during the pandemic led to then, let's say, this current situation, I guess.
Do you think it's going to be worse in the future?
Well,
it's not over yet. I mean, there's still more downsizing on the horizon, do you think?
Yeah. I would say that, like, right now the situation is like not getting back to normality yet, because like since a couple of weeks we are still hearing about studio closures and, you know, layoff. But to be fair, just like this week, finally we got some good news of, like, we heard about two new branch new studios coming from like industry veterans that just like started out. So, you know, this gives some positivity and some good vibes for the future. But looking at what analysts are trying to forecast for the close future, looks like that the situation will, let's say, I wouldn't say let get back to normality, but at least, you know, get better perhaps in Q3, Q4, 2024. So it's gonna still be a tough time for a while, but hopefully by the end of the year we should see some improvements.
Can you describe a little bit about the difference between game development companies in Europe versus game development companies in the U.S.? Is it much different when it comes to hiring and longevity and things like that? Or do you kind of see them as extremely similar?
That's a very interesting question. And I'm going to be super transparent here. I don't think I have the necessary knowledge to do a proper comparison, because as you can imagine, like, I mostly focus on European market, you know, just because of the time zone. And it's just, I guess it's easier, right? So very recently, I've been in touch and helping some US companies. So most likely, my knowledge is very limited on this regard. But from what I noticed from these like previous experiences, I would say that perhaps gaming, like US-based companies are, let's say, more, for example, regarding the recruitment process, it's just faster. Usually it takes less time to, you know, get interviews and to process everything. And it looks like there is just a faster market for some extent. While in Europe, we tend to be maybe a little bit more cautious in hirings. Also because like a lot of countries have more, let's say, stronger employee labor law. So meaning that, for example, it's, let's say, harder to lay off someone in Europe, generally speaking. Of course, it really depends as well on which country you're picking. But from a general perspective, it's, I would say, harder to, you know, take this decision in Europe rather than in the US. So I would say that it's also a little bit more cautious planning while creating the hiring strategy. So from our, let's say, an HR recruitment perspective, perhaps this is the biggest difference that I noticed while, you know, handling these two kind of like recruitment processes in Europe and in the US. But also what I can say is that, you know, usually gaming companies, they do it mostly for the passion of making cool games, right? Of course, the financial impact is important, especially at a corporate level. But like, you know, CEOs are still gamers that loves to make cool games, you know, and this super cool feeling and emotion, it's widespread. Can be in Europe, can be in the US. I believe it can be even in the like other countries such as China or Japan. This is what it's like bonding the companies, and also what makes it super cool to me, you know, because it's not just a matter of making money and looking at financial KPIs, but it's also a matter of trying to do something with the real passion to do it.
What about different, you mentioned different countries within Europe, and what are the kinds of differences you see from different parts of Europe? Because you're in Eastern Europe, which, I mean,
yes.
I think of it as Eastern Europe, and it seems to be a very, very strong gaming world there. I mean, with Ukraine, with Poland, and so on, but compared to some other places, what kind of differences do you find between different regions? I always think like Sweden. Sweden is like way above their weight in gaming and esports. Compared to their size, the population, and so on. Can you describe the approaches to the business in different parts of Europe?
Yeah, totally. I would say that there are quite big like differences compared to the impact of the gaming industry on the national economy. You know, I can mention Italy, for example, and that's also perhaps one of the reasons why I decided to leave Italy, at least for the moment, because the gaming industry and the gaming scenarios, although it's luckily growing even in Italy, is not as consolidated as, for example, Poland, Sweden, the UK, or some other big names in the European, you know, game development. So surely there are big differences on this regard. And I would say that Eastern Europe is one of the fastest growing areas for the game development industry. You know, like we can think about CD Projekt Red, based in Poland, Techland. I can say Bohemia Interactive, which is in Czech Republic, Amber. Like there are plenty of super cool studios that they are like being created, and they are in the last years really rising and creating massive IPs that they are played worldwide. So I would say that what happened in Sweden like 15 or 20 years ago with this massive growth of gaming companies, you know, which of course now they are very well established, it's pretty much happening here in the Eastern Europe. And that's interesting even to me to try to understand how come this phenomenon is running here, right? I would say that perhaps the national economies truly believes in the, you know, in the industry. So the law and the regulations are promoting, you know, like favorable conditions for the growth of the economy with laws, with financial, let's say, promotions of like basically every kind of project or startup in the gaming area. So even the talents, there are plenty of like good universities, good game courses. So of course, the talent pool of great developers are being developed here in Eastern Europe. And this perhaps is also another reason why we are basically assisting to an amazing growth. And, you know, it's super interesting to me to be part of it.
So you're saying that the governments are working to promote gaming in game development in particular. Is it because of the jobs that can be created?
Yeah, I would say that there is like a strong connection between three entities, which are, of course, companies, universities, or like, let's say, educational institutions, and the government. And once like the national economy believes in this kind of like, you know, initiatives and long-term perspective of some kind of industries, there are sometimes stronger and deeper connection between these three entities. And of course, if the whole environment is like trying to promote the growth of a particular sector, this makes way easier, you know, to create a company running it and even attract talents. One bright example that we are seeing right now, for example, the Saudi Arabia investment plan. They, I mean, not recently, but relatively recently announced a $2 billion investment in the gaming and esports scene, which is a massive one, in order to make Saudi Arabia one of the most important players in the esports and game development scenarios worldwide. And this big investment plan is like aiming to realize it by 2030. So once the government, you know, try to aim to a project like that, of course, there are all the, you know, the odds of making good stuff happening. So yeah, I believe that, you know, the impact of the government and even the university and like educational institutions can really promote or even slow down some industries. And I would say that in the Eastern Europe, there is a strong belief that this can be extremely profitable from a national level.
Do people there that, well, first let's talk about universities, because higher education, what role do they play in promoting game development in your part of the world?
So I, as far as I know, there are plenty of first like game development courses, you know, that like universities are trying, and they're even like creating new ones where they basically teach how to be a game developer from every department, you know, like can be art, engineering, production. So when universities like give these kind of courses, of course, like a young student can decide to go for this kind of career path since like after the, you know, the diploma. So this is super cool. And I see that there are quite a lot of universities that are investing on it. I can mention the Prague Business School, which is gonna open up in 2025 a new game development course, but there are plenty of them. So, you know, this is something where I can say a lot of people are getting interested into, and universities, of course, are trying to keep up the pace. Yeah, so for sure, there is like a massive investment on this. And I believe that, you know, you can really then collect the fruits out of it on the long run.
When you talk to people, do people understand, I'm kind of being really general there, people like at the universities or at the government, do they understand how gaming can be a business and not just a something frivolous and not worth spending a lot of attention on? Do people get the idea that, hey, this is really big business?
Yeah, I would say that like if you're going to ask this question to my mother, like a couple of years ago, most likely told you, yeah, well, like this is like pure, you know, yeah, it's a frivolous thing, as you said, for sure. So do not use different words because Italian man sometimes can be more direct, I would say. But yeah, like from a general perspective, I would say that right now people are for sure realizing the impact of the gaming business, you know, that even from a financial standpoint, that you can make a great living out of, you know, the gaming industry. Just by analyzing the fact that, I don't know right now in 2024, but like for sure in the couple of years, in the last ones, the gaming industry generated more money than the music and the movie industry combined. So, you know, like once we notice, we experience this kind of investments, of course you start thinking that this is not just playing, but it can be a profitable career. So a lot of years ago, I heard a lot of like veterans that told me, no, back then in the days, if you were like, you wanted to work in the gaming industry, you were not taken serious. But luckily, I would say we are shifting towards a better perspective. And I'm really glad of it, you know, because when I was a kid, I always wanted to kind of maybe not work at the time, but still be part of it. And I was not belied, but, you know, sometimes judged by my parents, of course, but even like friends that told me, yeah, but this is childish thing. Well, no, it's not childish. It's like really potentially profitable career, just it can be in every other kind of different like industry, you know.
No, which I think it's just,
in my opinion,
I just think it's been really fascinating to watch over the years of how that has taken place, because just like you're saying, I mean, it's bigger than games and music, and everyone thinks of the music industry as being a business. Everyone thinks of entertainment as being a business. So why are games not a business, sort of thing? And it's just been interesting to how people have been, yep, paying a little bit more attention there. And yeah, and mothers, it's like when we were talking about, we were talking, I always go back to the story of Kwesi Hafer taking his team in Ghana to Bali, and the team, the six guys that went, it's like when their parents took them to the airport to get on a plane, to travel halfway around the world to play games, it's just like, it just made it so much more real for the parents that, hey, this is really something. This is really changing their kids' lives that, before, you know, maybe they didn't, you know, just thought it was like, you know, get off the computer and go find a job sort of approach to things. I'm gonna ask a little bit
totally.
Recruiting in general here, because if someone is interested in getting a job in the gaming industry, what can they do? Let's take two different people. It's like, what if someone's just starting out? Someone's in junior high school, someone's, you know, way at the beginning of their career. What are the kinds of things that will make them more attractive to work in the gaming industry?
All right. Interesting one for sure. I would say that the sooner you start thinking about it, the better it is, you know, because like planting the seeds early can be like a deal breaker on the long run. But there are plenty of things that, you know, someone can take action in order to make it easier. For example, something that for me really worked out first, of course, is trying to understand from a professional perspective what can interest you, you know, because the gaming industry, like as an industry itself, it's a quite big one, you know, because you can do a lot of stuff in the gaming world. You can work in sales, you can work in HR, you can be a recruiter, you can be a programmer or work as an artist. You know, there are plenty of career paths. So the first thing that I would recommend is trying to understand from a professional standpoint, what would you like to do and what would you enjoy to do, you know, like from professionally speaking. Of course, as a student, you have no clue about what's the day-to-day and what are the activities, but you can always try to connect with people that are already doing so. And this is super easy nowadays because, like, besides LinkedIn, of course, which is the easiest way, but there are plenty of communities that in, you know, that are unifying players, and they can be players that are 15 years old, 14 years old, but also players that are 30, 40, 50, like really all the ages. And so when you jump into someone which is like a gaming veteran or working a gaming company, you know, you can always ask, hey, but how is your like day-to-day? How is being a game developer, a game designer, I don't know, like a game artist? So really networking in this sense of course, not looking for partnership or whatever, but just try to understand what's the day-to-day into a gaming company can really help out choosing, for example, which kind of university course you're going to take a course into that. So I'm a really big advocate of networking, and the earlier you do it, the better it is. and the game industry has the immense luck of connecting people from all ages and from different cultural backgrounds, professional backgrounds. So it's really easy to get in touch with experienced people and simply ask them, hey, by the way, besides the, I don't know, Fortnite lobby that we are playing together, can you tell me a little bit more about this? And 99% of the people are more than happy than share this kind of stuff just because we share the same passion. And so the idea of community in the gaming world, to me, it's really strong. And this is something that makes me proud, you know, to be part of it, to contribute on it, and that should be leveraged since you're super young. So this is perhaps the greatest advice that I can give to someone which is starting out. Really try to look for mentor, for people who are willing to share how it's like to start, and even ask them, which kind of advice would you give me if you were 20 years old, younger, or if you were starting out, you know? And people are really chill about that. They're willing to do so, you know, for free, of course, and for passion. So definitely start networking, and you can join Discord channels, LinkedIn, Facebook, like game jams. Everything is like a good way. These are like a general piece of advice. Another cool stuff that I can think of is probably try to attend some events. Some of them, like, they are even for free. And during these events, like, what you're trying to do online, you can do it live. And of course, you know, it's a big boost for everything, because when you're going to meet some people, you're going to basically reach out to them and say, hey, I'm like a young student, I love to play games. I'm thinking about making out my career in video games. If you do it like with someone connecting live, you know, you can discuss the games that you love and then move into some kind of more professional conversation. And that's absolutely a brilliant way to connect with people, make new friends, learn, and, you know, get started. So this combination of networking, both online and offline, is something that, in my opinion, works amazingly.
What about someone who's older? So if someone's, if you're just starting out, you always have the advantage of a lot of years to make a lot of mistakes and figure things out as you go along. If someone is already out there, you know, and I'm not saying how old, but someone that's already has an established career as an accountant or, you know, as something else, but they've always thought the game industry would be interesting. Is it something that people can switch into?
Yeah, absolutely. I am a firm believer that transferable skills can really help companies in different sectors. So for example, you're an accountant with 10 plus years of experience in the banking industry, insurance industry, whatever industry, and you are like dreaming to jump into the gaming world, you of course own and possess like a skill set that you developed along with your career. And this specific skill set is perhaps not foundable in someone that already had this kind of experience in the gaming world. So companies can have fresh ideas about how to do things and creative ways about how to approach new ways of operating. So this can be an incredible value added for companies, including the gaming ones. So for sure, there is the possibility to move into the gaming industry. What I would recommend from a recruiter point of view is trying to communicate and, like, in an efficient way, how to make the hiring managers, the recruiter, understand which kind of value you can bring in, even if you're not coming from the industry, but you will possess a unique value proposition that comes along with your different experience. And of course, the willingness to learn all the things that you didn't experience in a different sector, but you're willing to, you know, keep up with. So this could be a great way to jump into the gaming world, in my opinion.
I think it's really good to think of that people who are not just starting out, who have some experience, have something to bring, have the perspective. And I think if you were the hiring manager, the more different perspectives that you can have, the better your team is going to be. What's the salaries like in gaming industry versus other industries? Do people have to take a pay cut to work in a fun business?
That's a good question, actually. So the general answer here is that if you're going to compare, perhaps, I don't know, like software engineer, typical role, you know, like programming role, from my experience, which of course can be biased and cannot be applicable everywhere, so please take it as a very general statement. But in my opinion, there are sectors that are paying more than the gaming one. Like if I'm a software engineer working in the, I don't know, financial services or banking or whatever, I believe from a financial point of view, you can make more money simply because a lot of people that are working in the gaming world are doing so for the passion of making games. Yeah. And so this willingness to work in this industry make people more eager to accept perhaps like slightly lower compensations in order to do something that they really love compared to other industry where, yes, you may be a fan of like banks or, I don't know, engineering companies. But to be fair, I believe that the compensation package is super, super important into the, you know, the final evaluation of a job opportunity. In the gaming world, perhaps the idea of working on some specific games that you played since you were a kid can really make people like seriously consider even like compensation packaging that will not be acceptable in different conditions. So, which is at the same time, something cool and something that was maybe, especially in the past, leveraged too much, which create this kind of discrepancy between the gaming industry and different ones. But yeah, as a general answer, I would say that there is a slight difference, which nowadays, luckily, it's like trying to compensate. So that's a very general overview.
Yeah, that's something I think you find in the entertainment business here in Southern California. It's a people, you know, I get to work at Warner Brothers. I got to work on Dark Knight and Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. And it's like, wow, you know, people will, you know, people will accept less money, less compensation to have really, really fun projects to work on, which doesn't happen if you're in banking necessarily out there. Can you talk a little bit about what about from the hiring company? So what should, if someone is hiring people into the game development industry, what should they be looking for in someone that's going to succeed in a gaming business? Let's say compared to, you know, I don't want to just keep going back to accountant, but in general, the culture at a gaming company is going to be different than the culture of a lot of other companies. And, you know, there's not, you know, one stereotypical one that you can think of. But just in general, what are the kind of traits that you would recommend the hiring manager be looking for to find someone that's going to fit in well in a gaming company?
Oh, that's a super cool question, actually. And to be fair, like along with the gaming industry, you know, there are like within that, there are some differences, you know, in gaming companies' cultures. What usually makes all of them quite similar is the passion for making cool games, you know? And this is also like a key characteristics that hiring managers are already really strongly evaluating. Because as I said earlier, you know, every company is trying to their best to make cool games. Only that, you know, this is like how it should be. So if like I'm applying for a position, and if I were an hiring manager for that role, I just don't want to evaluate purely your hard skills or your soft skills, which kind of like professional value you can bring to the project. But I also would like to see the motivation to make sure that you are on board with all the team and all the company to make sure that the people and the gamers can have a great experience. So this is crucial, in my opinion, to also check the motivation of candidates in order to understand if the person can be a fit or not, you know? So really the passion, like not just the passion of playing games or making games. I would like to see why you are passionate to join in my project. Like I'm developing a sport game, I'm developing a fighting game, I'm developing a strategy game. They are completely different, you know? So I understand you might be a fan of this kind of game, but how can your expertise be translated into some real passion in making my kind of project? Because I'm pretty sure that the whole my team will be very into it. They're really, you know, making a huge effort to deliver a great experience. So this is crucial to communicate during an interview and like make them understanding why you can be a value to the project and why you would like to jump on it. So from a motivational point of view, this is, I would say, the trait that it's super important to show off during interviews. And luckily, a lot of people are really understanding that and they're really, you know, trying to do so. Like I can give you an example. As a recruiter, a lot of people, if they know that I'm working with a specific company, they say, no way, I played their game since I was a kid and I really would love to, you know, work hard to deliver the new version of the game or the new IP as best as I can. And this passion is what I want to see, you know?
Yeah, which is just, I mean, the industry is just so fortunate to be able to have that that ability, that layer on top of what it is that they're doing out there. So
totally.
One of the things I wanted to ask you also about is, I hear you're interested in starting a podcast.
Yes, this is some, like, I would love to. To be fair, it's on my like personal project pipeline list for 2024. But yeah, I'm trying to understand how to make it happen.
So what? Why? I'm always curious as to people's motivation, and I'm not sure. I just kind of heard from Reginald. I'm not sure what stage you are on doing it, or if you get it nailed down as what it is that you're going to be doing. But what got you interested in podcasting and thought that it was worth your time?
So I strongly believe that like podcasts have an incredible like way of sharing experiences and learn a lot. You can learn as an host, you can learn as a guest, and it's a great way to also meet new friends and meet new people. And every podcast, you know, embrace the spirit of like connections and create bonds, which is something that I'm really interested into, and I believe it's extremely valuable. Besides the, you know, the topic of the podcast itself. So podcasting is a great way to connect with other human beings, to make it simple. And if we are going to think about it in my specific case, I believe that, you know, creating your own podcast can be your personal way, of course, to connect with other people that, you know, share the same passion or interest as you, but also to make an impact by helping others, you know, learning and eventually having to hearing other stories, which can be potentially impactful on their life in a positive way. And this idea of like trying my best to support the community that I love and to share experiences, like to, you know, get in touch with a lot of people, is something that really makes me feel, I don't know, the adrenaline, and also feeling like sleep good at night, you know, just to know that I'm doing something that may be valuable for potentially a lot of people out there that share the same passion as mine. So that's a great way to do so. And I hope it can work out. You know, this is the reason behind I really would like to give it a shot.
One of the things I keep hearing through your conversation is you like being part of community. It was one of the things that started out with playing games, and that they got you into playing games maybe more than you might have been doing if there wasn't a community involved. And you're talking about having a podcast because of community. After you're talking about networking, you're talking about mentoring, which are really, that's a form of community there. Can you talk a little bit about how important community is in gaming?
Yeah, I would say it's super important, like, because gamers have this super lack of basically sharing the same experience. You can connect with people that you never spoke with, and you can befriend with people that you never saw, or eventually even had the chance to get in touch with just by playing the same game. And, you know, this is a great connector between people. So for the nature of what is playing itself, you know, especially online or even offline, you know, you can make great connections. And this connection is it's super valuable to me. So having the opportunity to meet new people and to make new friends just by sharing the same passion led to creating this community idea on a first, of course, local perspective, but thanks to the new technologies, it's running on a global perspective. So it's way easier to create a gaming community rather than a community of fan of, I don't know, like as we are using the banking industry, you know, like for people that are working in banks, maybe they're completely passionate about it, but, you know, in my opinion, it's not the same. It's way easier and perhaps even stronger, the kind of connection that it can create between people in the gaming world. And, you know, for the nature itself of the industry, it's something that is basically running since games were created. And it's one of the best parts of it.
Yeah,
to be sure.
Completely agree there. And we're just lucky to be able to talk about the industry here. Hey, wrapping up here, I just wanted to, where can people find you online?
Professionally speaking or as a player?
How about both?
Yeah, cool. Well, online, you can easily find me on LinkedIn. Here is Mirko Minenza with the weird Italian accent. Although Mirko is not an Italian name, to be fair. It's like, I guess it's Yugoslavian origins. But for some weird reason, it's getting popular in Italy since like 20, 30 years. The like original way is Marco, but yeah. So, you know, my father decided to go call me Mirko just because he find it cooler. And so, you know, like you can find me on LinkedIn easily. Online at the moment, I'm playing as a weird like nickname, which is Sakumo, coming from one of my favorite animes, and that is Naruto. So I always loved this character in Naruto. And that's why, you know, it's my nickname since ages.
Okay,
so
can you say that
I guess
again?
That's, yeah, Sakumo. It's like Japanese. It's one of the characters of Naruto. It's kind of weird stuff, but yeah.
Well, it's like, no. Everyone has gamer tags that almost always require explanation. But at the same time, what I think is fascinating is there's always a story behind it. I mean, people didn't just come up with it accidentally. There's some meaning to it out there.
That's true.
So, hey, really appreciate your time here. Good luck with your podcast. Good luck with recruiting in an industry that is really tough these days, I think. So really appreciate your time.
Same. Likewise, Tom. Thank you so much for the lovely chat. And best of luck with your podcast as well.
Thanks.
Running cool.
This is the Gamers Change Lives podcast. Subscribe, follow, and engage with us. The most important thing is because, as Mirko has been talking about community, I mean, that's the way that we build community on here, is for people to engage with us on social media. So thanks again. I'm Tom Leonard. Gamers Change Lives podcast. Play games, create jobs, change lives. See you next time.
You've just heard the Gamers Change Lives podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and leave a review. And if you haven't subscribed, do so right now so that you can stay up to date with episodes as soon as they're uploaded. And so you can hit the ground running on changing your esports adventure forever. You can also visit us at GamersChangeLivesPodcast.com. Play games, create jobs, change lives. Thanks for listening.